Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Ancient stories told. The shadows, the light. That's Linda Hirshhorn and Vocalote with Chanukah Solstice. And the growing of the light in all the traditions. And right here on KMUN, Astoria, KTCP, Tillamook, Arts Live and Local from the parking lot. Thanks for being here, folks. I'm sending out healing wishes to all, to Terry and to Judith, to Josh, to all in need, physical, spiritual, heart, and mind, and to all of us who have survived and are still grieving those who did not, to a better year. We are going to start right out with my guests from the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Carol.
Glad you made it. It's a long haul, isn't it?
Very long haul.
Yeah. And we have Patrick Lathrop also. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, this is great. So Patrick is the executive director of the Coaster Theater. He's also the director of what we're going to be talking about today, the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol. Well, that may sound like, well, yeah, we've seen that before, but oh no, you haven't seen this one before, because Jenny Tronier, who is also the outreach and marketing, what's your official title, Jenny?
Do you have one? Marketing and operations director.
Okay. Marketing and operations. I get it. It covers just about everything. And Jenny is the head writer of this version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, which is radio-style play written, workshopped, and performed by the community. And I have been following this since, well, I think my earliest was September. Is that right? When did you start
that is
writing?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it was. We announced it in September.
You kept, I loved it because you just kept on putting out calls. But for those of us who actually read these things, I could see that you were moving along, because the first one was for a writing team. And then you were looking for script readers. Okay, so you've got the script. Now you need readers. And then you were looking for actual readers. And now you're putting it on the air, or in this case, on the virtual system. So tell us what you have done. And I understand, well, I know because I've seen it many times, Christmas Carol is a tradition at the Coaster. How did that start? Anyone can talk.
I'll let Jenny go first and kind of talk about the writing process and some of that, and then I can come in and tell a little bit about the direction and the casting.
Okay, and the history of the Coaster and the Christmas Carol, because I read it goes way back to 1973. Or 1986 or something like that.
Oh,
tell us.
You know, 1972 is what we, you know, is when the Coaster Theater was founded. And really one thing that helped perpetuate this was the gas crunch and the community coming together to bring people to Cannon Beach. And the town created this kind of Dickens theme throughout the town, where shopkeepers dressed in Victorian garb and people talked in Cockney accents.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
And the community came together. Bill Sydell was very integral in the first Dickens play. And they came together and decided to put on what they called the Dickens play, based on Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. And it just brought the community together, and it became this annual tradition where people who grew up in this community, I mean, you know, there are people that say, I was a kid in that. I loved that.
Nice. Nice.
In the early days, it was, you know, anyone who wanted to be in it was in it, even the family dog. So it was just a real community event that brought people together for the holidays.
Tell me, how many people are there approximately in Cannon Beach?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think officially, we're about 1,700.
Okay.
If you count all of the vacation rental or vacation homeowners, but the actual citizens, I think it's like 600 or so.
Okay. Because I'm thinking that's a phenomenal ability to pull the whole town together. It does help to have a small town so that, as you say, the shopkeepers and the kids and the, I love the idea of people speaking in Cockney accents. And it seems to have worked because the it started a tradition of performing. Mm-hmm. So this year was different, obviously, for everybody. So what did you folks decide to do?
Well, you know, since March, the Coaster Theater has been closed to the public. We've had no performances, mostly to keep not only our staff safe, but also our volunteer community, but also our visitor community safe. And we just really felt, because the holiday show is so important to the history of the theater, that we had to come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, we looked to our history and what brought us together in those early days as a community theater, which is what we are. And so the idea was hatched to kind of take the idea of those early Dickens plays and really make it a community event that could bring people not only currently involved with the theater, but also people who may have been involved and moved away from the area, but due to circumstances and being virtual,
mm-hmm.
i.e. Google Meet and Zoom, could participate.
Wow.
And not actually physically be in Cannon Beach, which mm-hmm. was a very really exciting idea.
We
had people reading from Boston, from Kentucky, from all over the country. It was very exciting.
So you have a list that goes way back, and you just send it out to everyone, and people from all over the country responded?
Well, we put out the call on Facebook for writers, Facebook and our Instagram, and through our email newsletter. And we got writers, six writers. Some of them are local to the community, being the North Coast,
mm-hmm.
Seaside, Cannon Beach.
Mm-hmm.
We also had three of our writers who have been involved with the Coaster Theater in the past that have moved away. One now lives in Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
one's in Yakima, Washington, and one is in Logan, Utah.
Great.
That was our writing team.
Mm-hmm.
And we were tasked to create a script in a month, which anybody who's written a play knows that that is a tall order. But thankfully, we were using some material that was already written. We weren't creating anything from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got together a couple of times a week, and each writer took a specific portion or scene of the play, and they were tasked with creating the dialogue for those.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we had a script, we put a call out for readers.
Hold on one sec. Now, do you usually or ever write your plays that way? Because we often hear about, I don't have TV, but I hear about it on the radio, about these TV shows where they have a writer's room and they all put their jokes out and they, you know, make all those group decisions. That seemed to me like quite the task. Do you usually do it that way?
No,
this is the first time.
At the Coaster Theater, we don't create our own material. Most of the material we produce on stage is licensed material.
Okay.
So this is the first time in many years that we've created our own piece. And the writer's room really did come and was inspired by how a lot of TV shows are written.
Okay.
Most plays are written by maybe one, two.
Mm-hmm.
Some have three writers most. So mm-hmm. it was definitely done more in the style of, you know, bringing your work to the table, sharing it, what works, what can be improved.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice just to have people to bounce ideas off of.
Did you all know each other before, the six of you?
Some of us did. Mm-hmm. There were, for me personally, I've been with the Coaster Theaters since 2013. And so I knew most of the writers except for two.
Okay.
They were new to me, but they had a history with the theater.
Right.
So it was really nice to get to know
Lovely.
New people, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so you got the script. Then you put the call out for script readers. What does that mean?
So what we did is kind of utilizing the same platforms we did with the writers, Facebook, Instagram, and our email newsletter, we sent word out that we were going to do these readings. And people, our writers, shared these posts on Facebook with theater-related groups that they're involved in on Facebook. And so, and really for the readers, it was a first-come, first-served basis. There was no audition process. It was just like, we're going to have 10 readers. As soon as those 10 spots are filled, whether they're male, female, you know, who cares?
Right, right.
Anybody can read anything. We just want to hear it in other
nice.
Voices.
Nice. I like it.
And we ended up, like Patrick said, we got readers from coast to coast. It was brilliant. And really, they just, some people had never heard of Cannon Beach.
Oh.
Some people have never heard of the Coaster Theater.
Uh-huh.
And they just wanted an opportunity to be involved with a creative process, which is really nice. And it was just really cool to see kind of that reach.
Yeah. Yeah. And you opened it up to the world there. That's
we really did.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's one of the, what did they say, the silver linings of what's been going on, how we've all been stretched to be able mm-hmm. to be involved in wonderful activities all over the country, all over the world, for that matter.
Yes,
so
very much
yeah.
so. We've enjoyed it so much. In fact, we have decided to continue
mm-hmm.
Creating original pieces with our own writers and things
Love
like
it.
That.
Excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful. This is going to be a landmark. So these are we have to write these down, the good things that came out of 2020, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, really. So you got, you had it read, then you called, mm-hmm. what is call for readers? Was that people who were actually going to, was that kind of like
so
an audition or?
We had four calls for readers. So we did what's called four workshops. So what we did is when we finally had a script to share, we did our first call for readers, and that was first come, first serve, up to 10 readers. Whoever wanted to read could read. And then we held the reading over Zoom, and mm-hmm. People were assigned parts. There was no audition, just assigned parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the writers and the readers came together. Writers listened to the script, and then once we were done, we kicked all the readers out of the Zoom meeting, and then we sat down and said, okay, what's working, what's not working,
yeah.
What can we adjust, and we did that four different times.
Wow.
It's kind of a process to clean up the script,
mm-hmm.
Really kind of fine-tune and make it better.
Now, is this script that you wrote, is it really based on Dickens' Christmas Carol? I mean, are we going to recognize?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah,
okay.
We kept very true to the script. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was due to our time crunch because, like I said, we put the script together in a month.
Yeah.
So we did utilizing the text a lot, stick to that. Where the radio show comes in is that we decided on a radio show mostly to give us flexibility in the hopes early on that we could open the theater to a small audience.
Ah, you see.
And actually perform it live.
Right.
Or we could do it virtually like we are intending to do.
Exactly. Who knows? Maybe next year you'll do this
live.
That's
actually our goal.
Is that right? Good,
yeah,
good.
We plan to open
We're hoping that we can bring
year.
It to the stage.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But for now, you are actually opening this Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes.
7
yeah,
p.m.
7 p.m.
How?
Jenny, go ahead and tell them about that.
And how do people find you?
7 p.m., the recorded piece, mm-hmm. so it's been digitally recorded, will air on our YouTube channel. Coaster Theater has a YouTube channel. And it will be available for anyone to watch at any time from Sunday, December 20th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
through Sunday, December 27th. There is no charge.
Mm-hmm.
Donations are welcome. And people can find the link to our YouTube channel from coastertheater.com.
Okay, that's...
And also, for those who are unfamiliar with YouTube, if you go to coastertheater.com on December 20th on our show page, which we'll have a link from our homepage, you will be able to watch it directly from the show page of our website as well.
Only on the 20th or all the time?
No, it will be available for a full week.
Okay.
So from 7 p.m. on December 20th through Sunday, December 27th.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to coastertheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E, coastertheater.com, and it's going to be obvious to me, a very low-tech person, how to find the play. Is that correct?
And on our it should be on our homepage. We have a little slider. It shows images.
Okay.
Four images, and one of those images, and it should pop up. Be the first one that pops up as you land on our homepage.
Uh-huh.
Says the Coaster Theater Radio Hour, Charles Dickens.
Okay.
A Christmas Carol.
And what do? I just click on that.
Click that image.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take you to the show page. And it has instructions on how to watch it right there on the show page.
Okay, I'm going to believe you, Jenny, and
okay.
because as I say, as a low tech person who is not on Facebook, I have I've been way overwhelmed with all the fabulous events that I've been involved in these last months. Mm-hmm. But I have been locked out of some. And there may be a way in, but I don't know what it is. So I'm going to trust you. Go to coastertheater.com and watch for the slider and click on it and go to the show page. And I am going to be delighted by this production. Now, Patrick, what did you have to do in terms of direction on Zoom? How does that work even?
Well, it certainly was challenging and certainly unique for me. And I have never done film in any capacity, so to actually direct the film was again a challenge. Luckily, I had an excellent editor, Mick Alderman. You know Mick.
Oh gosh, yeah, and he's
fabulous job.
He's
so we
quite
cast.
Experienced.
We sent out a call for casting.
Mm-hmm.
I got 8 people, so we cast those 8.
Mm-hmm.
We early on decided that we were going to have to film it. Because it's a radio show, there's also 2 folio artists that should be cast who make all the live sound effects.
Right.
But we didn't get that for this, so sound, which probably wouldn't have worked so well. So the sound effects actually are simulated, but hopefully when we do it live, we'll have actors who are our sound effect people.
Right.
That would be really exciting.
Right.
So I got 8 people involved. So everybody except Scrooge plays several different characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's three women, four men, and one boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on Zoom and basically tried to read the script. Usually during a rehearsal, one or two of us would drop out because our internet would go or something like that. So
I wonder.
Yeah. We never really got a real rehearsal. But then we filmed it. So everyone came in individually. Again, this is so much because of the COVID situation.
Uh-huh.
Everyone came in individually. We filmed them saying all of their lines.
Oh, my gosh.
We basically did it against a neutral, dark background and dressed them in 1930s style street clothes.
Okay.
So it looks like there's an radio actor who's come in to work their job in the radio station. So
right.
We haven't really dressed them as the characters from the show.
Right. Right.
And so Mitch has, like I said, he filmed it all and he sliced it all together.
Oh.
And I just saw it today for the first time. And I think it's officially now called In the Can.
Okay.
Or something to that effect. But it's a done deal. Now he has to do something called, I can't remember the word, but it's where he takes the big file and makes it little so he can send it to Jenny.
Oh, Lordy.
So he'll be sending that to her. Jenny, you may not get it till like Saturday night at midnight.
I love it. This is art. This is art. This is the beauty of it, the improvisation that we've all
completely
been living with for all our lives really, really comes in handy now. And I'm so glad to hear that you have Mick Alderman, one of our top professional filmmakers and screenwriters and everything, not to mention directing and acting. So,
actually, Mick ended up having a little cameo because one of our actors filmed the wrong character. He filmed another character, which I wasn't aware of.
Okay.
And so we
Wonderful.
Realized we didn't have anybody saying these two or three lines.
Right.
So Rhonda found him a costume and
of course.
They filmed it at his house. And so he has a little cameo in it.
See, what an amazing community we have. It's so packed full of artists, creative.
It is.
I think they said creatives, right? Well, I'm going to let you go, and congratulations on doing this. I'm very much looking forward to it, and I hope everyone in our audience will not only see it but spread the word. This is the CoasterTheater.com, and it starts the Sunday evening, 7 p.m. for 1 week. So that's
and
one of
Carol, could
yes.
I insert one other thing?
Yes.
We also are going to be airing it Slabby's radio show on KMUN on Monday night.
I just saw that on my computer. That would be Slab Slabinski. That's a short attention span.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Perfect. And it's for him, for me, for all of us. That would be this Monday, December 21st, 10 p.m. on KMUN and KTCB. That will be a whole different experience. So I'm looking forward to both of them. Thank you so much, Jenny Schonier. And Jenny, how do you pronounce your name correctly, your last name?
Schonier.
You do say Trognier. Okay, good.
Yes, I do.
Very French. Alors, and Patrick Lathrop. No, Patrick Lathrop from the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach.
Thank
with
you so
Charles
much, Carol.
Dickens, A Christmas Carol, radio-style play written, workshopped, and performed by the community film by Mick Alderman. Thank you so much, and have a great holiday.
I have one other quick comment, Carol. As soon as I get off work tonight, I'm going to grab a glass of wine and sit and listen to Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblin.
Oh, thank you. At libertyastoria.org. Read by yours truly. Thanks, Patrick. Okay,
thank you.
Take care. Have a beautiful holidays.
Carol.
Bye-bye now.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. And you're listening to KMUN and KTCB. Thanks, folks. Stay tuned. Oh, yes, my beloved Acadie, quand je pense à mes Noëls. Manuel en Acadie. That one goes out to my beloved Carol and her whole family in Squamish and Seychelles now. However, we are all from Nouvelle-Écosse. It goes out to all the Bellevaux, Natarios, and the Amiros, all my friends in Maritime, Nouvelle-Écosse, Nova Scotia. Ooh, makes me a little teary. Yes, and this next one will not make us teary. It will make us laugh and then realize, oh my God, this is great music. Brian Bergman. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Hello there, Carol. How are you?
I am well. And when I say that people should check out Toot Flute, they might start chuckling. This is the Astoria Tuba Quartet, Tuba Christmas. And this is another annual tradition. However, of course, it's a little different this year. So tell us what you have done and when you are planning to. I believe it's possible to see it right now. Is that right?
I think we're close to that happening. I think it's a good idea to just take a look on Facebook, you'll be able to see it. We decided that since we couldn't do a live performance, we'd go ahead and record ourselves. We didn't want to, you know, Grinch everybody and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ahead and did it anyway and practiced hard for it. And so it should be a lot of fun to listen to.
Okay. Now, are you really a quartet? Are there really just four of you?
There really just four of us. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So I understand, is this correct, that you actually recorded it at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. the PAC, in Astoria. Is that correct?
That is true. We went in and did that, social distanced and mm-hmm. with just nobody else, just the recording artist, mm-hmm. Janet Bowler, and then the rest of us. So we went ahead and did it there, and it's beautiful acoustics in there.
Yes.
Especially for big horns like that. The ceiling height is nice mm-hmm. and tall. And it makes us sound glorious.
Well, you are glorious, but it is for a lot of people, and I used to be one of those people, the concept of a tuba quartet was a bit, shall we say, far-fetched. However, having heard you folks for years now, I can completely endorse this group. Tell us what the who the people are, the four of you, and what you all are doing in this.
Well, sure. I'll start from the top, which is actually the bottom. It's Lee Stromquist is our bass tuba player. Lee's a longstanding community member, taught at Astoria for years and years in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of our arrangements for us, too. Mm-hmm. He's been a great member. Then Dennis Hale plays F tuba in the group, which is halfway between the euphonium and the tuba as far as pitch. Dennis is the founding member of the group, and the group started in the late 70s, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And it's been around for a long, long time, and Dennis is an amazing player, too, and has really contributed in a huge way. Then our newest member of the group is John Hammond,
mm-hmm.
and John plays euphonium. He's one of our euphonium players. He is a retired teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And,
music.
You know, he taught it at Warrenton and down south before that, I think Tillamook. But anyway, he has added a lot to the group. Our first euphonium retired, Bob Joyner.
I know. I miss Bob.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
I miss Bob.
Yes.
So anyway, he retired just a couple of years ago. And then so I took his spot. I'm of course, Brian Bergman. I'm mm-hmm. playing the first parts on the euphonium. And so
I've tell
been a
us
member of the group for a little over 20 years now.
Okay, now tell us, what is a euphonium? people are familiar with the idea of tuba. I think we most of us grew up with Tubby the tuba. What's euphonium? How do they differ?
Well, it probably the best way is the way an orchestra describes it as a tenor tuba.
Ah.
So you think of a small tuba. It's in the same pitch range as a trombone. A lot of times that helps people to visualize it.
Hmm.
So just a smaller version of a tuba, one octave higher than the bass tuba that pitched in B-flat.
So why does it have a different name? Does euphonium...
Well, the word euphonium, phone means sound, and euph means beautiful. Euphonium, beautiful sound, is where that came from. You know, and the history of the euphonium and the baritone horn, which are almost exactly very similar instruments, is about the same age as the tuba. It's just mid 1800s. You know, they're very recent instruments compared to others.
So, first of all, I can immediately see why I would want to keep the name euphonium, beautiful sound. Who could say no? Can you shift back and forth? In other words, if you play the euphonium, is it easy for you to pick up the tuba and vice versa, or not necessarily?
Well, you usually will specialize in one or the other. There's, you know, there's a lot of people who double on those, or you know, I personally will double on a trombone and a euphonium because it's the same mouthpiece, so it makes it super easy to go back and forth. You know, some people focus on one and try to get really good at that.
Right.
Others can go back and forth. Once you have learned one of those, though, it's really not that hard to pick up another one.
Well, I'm thinking it's helpful in case somebody is out or whatever, if you're able to. But obviously, when you say specializing in one instrument, that is what most musicians do. However, on the side, you know, piano and guitar or whatever it is. So we are going to hear, how did you decide on the, or do you do the same music each year? Is that?
Some of the songs we do every year because we love them and the audience gets a charge out of them and they enjoy them. Others of them, we get a new one, like Lee will arrange a new piece and we'll do that. Or some of them we just rotate every 2 or 3 years. And, you know, we're trying to constantly bring in new music.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find really good quality music written for tuba quartet.
I was going to ask that. Is there much music that was written and or is being written in addition to being arranged?
Right. Yes, I think there's a bulk of the repertoire is arrangements and really good arrangements of excellent music. You know, arrangements of jazz standards, arrangements of all different genres. We have a klezmer piece. We've got, it marches, Sousa marches, and the list goes on. But there's also, there was a huge push, and there still is, for people to create music specifically for tuba quartet. And a lot of the stuff in our folder is just that.
Nice. Wow. Well, we are so lucky to have our very own tuba quartet right here in Astoria. Are all of you members of the North Coast Symphonic Band as well?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I suspected.
We play in the North Coast Symphonic Band. Many of us, we play in the Nutcracker Orchestra.
Yes.
You know, lots of different things that are going on around here.
Yeah.
So
for those of you listening from afar who had no idea how rich this community, and when I use the word community, that is the larger community, is in music, it is tremendous, and it runs the whole gamut. So that's why a lot of us are here, isn't it, Brian?
You know what? It's why when I moved here in '96 to get a teaching job, I haven't ever left.
Yeah.
Because the music is so good here, yeah. and the community is so good.
Right, and the community supports the arts, and so that's a big part of it, and putting it all together as well. So my understanding is that you can check out Facebook, North Coast Symphonic Band, or Partners for the PAC. You can also check out on YouTube Toot Flute. That would be TOOTF as in Frank, Loot as in Christmas Loot. And have a listen to the Astoria Tuba Quartet. Any idea how long this will be up?
I have no idea how long it will be up. I think just check it out as soon as you see it.
Right. This is the season, after all. Give me the names of three of your favorite pieces that you're going to be playing. I know you have a whole list. You've got about 10, 12, 15 pieces you're going to be playing. Tell me just the top.
Well, we love this mash of classical and Christmas, which is called Santa of Seville.
Okay.
Super fun. That's arranged by Lee Stromquist, mm-hmm. and or transcribed by Lee Stromquist. The you'll hear Sleigh Ride,
mm-hmm.
Our version of Sleigh Ride, and we have an arrangement of Christmas jazz pieces done by Lenny Niehaus. There's about four Christmas songs in there that are treated in a jazz style that are just absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah.
You know, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
You just really have to see it.
It does. And this is a whole new way to listen to it. There are songs that everybody likes to hear every year, and then there are songs that we're tired of hearing. So this is a great way of listening to this seasonal music in a new way. The Astoria Tuba Quartet, Tuba Christmas. Thank you so much, Brian Bergman.
And thank you, Carol Newman. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. Have a great holiday. Bye-bye.
All right. You too.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And coming up next, folks, coming up next, we have, since I should tell you right now, we will not be broadcasting Arts Live and Local for the next 2 weeks. We're taking a break here at KMUN, where our staff is working still full-time to keep this fabulous station on the air. So that's a holiday for the staff. And so I would have asked Nevada to put on a special piece, because December 26th, the day after Christmas, which we heard from the Maritimes, begins Kwanzaa. And here's Linda Tillery, and thanks so much to all of our KMUN family for keeping us on the air, to the staff and the board, the volunteers. And you can go to coastradio.org and give your thanks too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Fabulous. Linda Tillery, lift every voice and sing. And we've got some singers right here in our community, and I've got one of them on the line. Chris Lynn Taylor, are you there?
Yes, hi, Carol. How are you? Hi.
I am well, thank you. Chris Lynn sings, well, she sings all over the place. Let's tell it like it is. If you live here, you've seen her, whether it was in Shanghai and Astoria, or soloing with the North Coast Chorale, or singing the Star Spangled, whatever. Chris Lynn is there with Santa Lucia and everything. But today she's here to talk to us about the North Coast Chorale Virtual Messiah Sing-Along Play-Along. Now, if you leave the word virtual out, this is another annual tradition. However, this year, it's different. And the other part of the tradition, annual tradition, is that this is always a benefit for the Clatsop Community Action Regional Food Bank. And here to tell us about that is Chief Operations Officer, or CO, I love that, Dustin Martin. Hi, Dustin.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. So first, Chris Lynn, can you talk about this performance? How were you guys able to come together? And what is it we're going to see? Usually it's at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. at the PAC, and everybody piles in. And some people have the script and others don't. And the North Coast Chorale sings and everybody sings along. And you have other instrumentalists on stage and all that's gone. What did you do?
Well, we, first of all, you know, a big shout out has to go to Denise Reed. She just really put this thing together and worked real hard to make sure that we were all well rehearsed beforehand. And she got wonderful musicians, violinists from Portland, and we had Phyllis Taylor from locally to play mm-hmm. the cello,
mm-hmm.
and just a piano player, and just all of the details that she worked on to get us to do this, not just one time, but twice.
So I understand. Now, let me just let folks know, Dr. Denise Reed is the conductor and the director of the North Coast Chorale. And so she apparently also knows how to do this kind of stuff, technical putting together. And she's got a long reach with musicians. So did you folks sing this together and someone filmed it? Or are you in boxes? Or how did this happen? What are we going to see?
We were lucky enough to get one of those I can't remember exactly what the letters are that comprise the grant that we got
mm-hmm.
for artists, and we used part of that grant to purchase singers' masks.
Oh yes,
which from the Broadway Theater Project, and they are because of those we were able to be in one room, and of course separated and singing together. Using the masks, and we were in the Presbyterian Church is where they filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
We had the violinist and the piano player and the cellist all behind us on the altar, and then we spread out among the pews.
Oh, wow.
And then Denise was up the center aisle directing us.
I love it. Oh, and then someone filmed all of that?
Yes.
Wow.
I can't remember his first name. A very talented man. We just got the email from Denise that told us that everything is ready to go.
Oh, that's good. Because Sunday. This Sunday at 4 o'clock, I believe. Is that mm-hmm. your understanding? Yeah. And and it will be available where? I think, Dustin, I better bring you in now. First of all, anybody can watch this, but it is a benefit. And a lot of people are really wanting to donate to the food bank. So this is a fabulous opportunity to go to the website, be able to watch the performance, and make your donations as well. Tell us how that's going to work, Dustin.
Sure. A local gentleman by the name of Paul Haynes was the videographer there.
Okay, right.
He did a fabulous job putting this together. Wonderful guy. I didn't know him before this event, so I got to know him a little bit, and what a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this video will be available to watch on our website. So if people go to the Class of Community Action website, which is www.ccaservices.org. Right on the home page, it will give you instructions. You'll be able to click and watch. The way I understand it, the video is a little bit over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a wonderful thing to, you know, grab a cup of coffee and watch or sing along if you want in your home. You will have some options there. If you feel inclined to donate to the regional food bank, you'll be able to do that as well. So it's a wonderful event. We're so happy to be part of it. The way the virtual part was pulled off this year, we had a few people praying and a few of us running around. But at the end of the day, we between Paul and our IT person, who's in Olympia, Washington,
oh,
manages our website.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Megan with a company called NetRaising. They did a great job, you know, getting this thing uploaded, getting it ready to go. Before this call, I was able to see some of how the homepage will look on our website.
Oh, good.
I was able to see that from Megan and how the donation process would work. So it's going to be a really cool thing, and we're just happy to, you know, be able to be part of it, have it on our website. I always look forward to this event and actually going to it in person.
Right,
so,
right.
So we'll be watching it from my living room. So.
Yeah, not quite the same, but the spirit will be high, I am sure. Has this been a good fundraiser for the Clatsop Community Action Food Bank in past years?
You know, It's built up a little bit each year, but it's been something we look forward to, and it comes at a time where typically our need is a little bit greater, especially in a COVID year. 2020 is kind of a rascal of a year for all of us, so we were disappointed when we thought the event wasn't going to happen, but Dr. Reed did a great job saying, no way, the show's got to go on.
Yeah. Listen.
It was fabulous to get this done. And I know the Corral's got some wonderful, wonderful people that helped as well.
Well, I'm thinking Denise Reed, when she puts her mind to something, she can even take the whole Corral to Barcelona, right, Chris Lynn?
Yeah.
So if she can get you to Barcelona, I'm not surprised she can get you on the virtual wagon right here. How many of the Corral folks are involved in this?
I believe between 13 and 15 of us were singing in all four parts.
Okay, so, and you're an alto, is that right?
Right, yeah, I sing at the contralto, yes.
Right, and are there going to be some solos as well during this performance?
Right. We're doing the Christmas portion. And so there's Phil Keim came in to do the tenor solos.
Oh,
and,
good. Phil Keim.
And one of the delta solos. Mm-hmm. And Ellen Dooley and, oh, Lord. and one of our wonderful sopranos, whose name just went out of my head.
That's fine.
They're
yeah.
doing the solos.
Okay. Well, I write that your part is finished now. It's all been filmed, and you can relax and watch it also.
Yes, I can. And I wanted to mention that people who want to sing along at home, they can go to the chamber and pick up music.
Oh, really?
Copies of the choruses.
Okay. And I bet, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if you couldn't find the music online somewhere as well. Or, since you're in your own home, you don't need to worry about neighbors who look at you funny because you're off key, and you can just open up your mouth and your heart and sing along, because a lot of this music is quite well known. So, but watching the chorale and the instruments playing together. And I love the idea that you're situated in the church and that spread out, because I think in past years, some of the chorale has kind of gone into the audience as well to sort of help folks out with the singing. So this time there's nobody but the chorale singing. It's going to be fantastic. And Paul Haynes, yes, thank you. He has been videoing for the Performing Arts Center for a while now, and that's been very, very helpful. So, Chris Lynn,
yes.
What do you think about this? Has it been more stressful, less stressful, more enjoyable? You're not hanging out with your friends except online, and well, then you go into the church and perform together once. How has this year been?
Well, we did. You know, we had individual sectionals. You know, alto sectionals, soprano sectionals.
Okay.
Tenor sectionals. You know, we started those in the fall.
Okay.
Or in the summertime, actually, mm-hmm. and because we did the two concerts, the two open air concerts in October.
Right. Right.
So, and then we've been practicing. Once the weather got bad, we started practicing in at Peace Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Once. And so we've been, you know, singing together, but not as a huge group. This is the first time that we've been together as a group since this has started. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's a way to sing, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely. What's that? What's the chorale's theme song, Can't Keep From Singing?
Yeah, we just can't keep from singing.
There
yeah.
you go. So it sounds like this is the perfect opportunity. The virtual Messiah sing along and play along. And it is going to be 4 p.m. on Sunday, the 20th. But I believe, I don't know for sure, but I think folks can watch it after that on the CCA services. .org.
That's right, Carol. It's going to go live this Sunday, the 20th at 4 p.m., and they'll be able to watch it up until midnight on December 31st. So
oh, perfect.
Once the new year rolls around, it's going to vanish like a pumpkin.
Oh, so, dear.
yeah. You got to get in when the getting's good. So.
Well, this is a good window. And I think this is a good time to be listening because, after all, the light is starting to come back. We started it with Hanukkah, and now solstice is coming up in a few days, and the days start getting longer again. So I think we're in good shape. Well, I am delighted to know that the Messiah sing-along is happening. It there was a glitch there, and we were a little thinking it wasn't going to happen, but thank you, Denise, for pulling it together, and thanks to all of the chorale members who have put their hearts and voices in this. And then for our community, this is the time, actually all year round is the time to support the regional food bank, but this is a perfect way to do it. Dustin, am I right? I think we're out of time, though, so I better just say ccaservices.org. Have a great holiday. Thanks for being here, Chris Lynn Taylor and Dustin Martin.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay, and folks, please tune in tonight to libertyastoria.org. You can, and that's /vimeo.com/libertyastoria. Vimeo.com. For Sparrow, the Sparrow Company is doing a fantastic Convidando esta la noche with music by Juan Garcia de Cespedes. Colorful, joyful, cultural mix. And this is Julia Gingrich's choreography, on-set help from Maggie Wall, which is the Astoria School of Ballet, and Tyler Little filmed it, so this is a real community effort. Three-Leg Torso tomorrow night is at the AlbertaRoseTheater.com with the Elves of Northern Frostland. It's a musical play. You know their music is fabulous, and they always play. It's going to be hilarious as well. Also, the Sou'wester is having a concert. I'm not sure if the Tolovan Arts Colony is going to be able to have their second weekend of the Holiday Bazaar. You might go to their website, tolovanaartscolony.org. It was supposed to be this weekend, maybe it is, but with the lockdown, I'm not sure. And then Sunday, the North Coast Chorale and the Coaster. The Chorale's at 4, Coaster's at 7, and don't forget, it's going to be on KMUN Monday night. Thanks for being here, folks. I wish you all happy holidays. May the light of the season bring health and brightness into our lives, all of us, and into this country and into this world. And stay tuned to coastradio.org, KMUN 91.9 FM, KTCB, Tillamook 89.5 FM. And be well, treasure each day with gratitude, light, and love. Carol, wishing you a good new year.